God bless you, saints. Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. You come expecting? You come expecting? We've got a promise. You will receive what you expect. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer as we get into our study. Lord, we just thankful, Lord, to be able to gather together around your word this morning. And Lord, we just ask that you'll bless the service today. I pray, God, that you'll just give the people what they have need of, Lord. And Lord, that you'll bless our brother as he's preparing and studying, and Brother Luis with him, Lord Jesus. Just bless the remainder of the services today, we pray in your name. Now, excuse me. We about got to the end of Hebrews chapter 12, but I just began to meditate on these couple of verses here, 14 and 15, that I just kind of wanted to look at a little bit closer. In the Hebrews 12, verse 14, it says, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." Now, let's look at the example he's using of what the scripture means. He said, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. So Esau made a decision, and then afterwards he regretted that decision. And so it says, "For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears." And if you go back to Genesis 27, you can read how Esau just cried out, it says, with bitterness. He cried out bitterly. And that's the example that Paul is using here in verse 15. He says, "Lest any root of bitterness." You can see how bitterness will rise. What causes bitterness really is Esau was expecting to receive the birthright. And then because of the choices that he made, his expectation was not met. He did not meet, the expectation was not fulfilled. And that's what caused the bitterness to rise up. Now, Paul is telling us to let's be careful that, you know, that the thing that we're expecting, of course, we're all expecting the blessings from God and all these things that we're expecting. So he's telling us, he's warning us to make sure we make right decisions. But he's also warning us to watch out for any root of bitterness. And the root of bitterness will rise up if someone is expecting something and they don't get exactly what they would expect. And then that causes something to begin to take place. So let's narrow the focus down on these two verses. Follow peace with all men and holiness, and looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. So as we examine bitterness this morning, look at what Brother Branham said, "In Christ, the mystery of God revealed." He said, "Stay right together, brother, right together. If the brother you think he's a little wrong, or the sister, say, Lord, don't never." Now, see, these lessons that we're learning about is how to deal with one another, how to deal with situations. So this morning, maybe we can just take a moment to inspect ourselves. As you know, it's helpful sometimes to inspect yourself, and you know, just kind of compare yourself, the way that you react, and you know, all of ourselves, how we do things. Because like one time I was sharing that experience with Brother Marcus Becker, where he said, you know, if you can really, what we're really doing here is if you can understand yourself, if I can understand myself and understand the way that I react and the way I respond to things and how things happen, then that's what this journey is really all about, is understanding why I am the way I am and how I can overcome. So Brother Branham said, "Stay right together. If the brother you think he's a little wrong, or the sister, say, Lord, don't let me never have the root of bitterness spring up, because it'll affect him and it'll take the Christ right out of my life. That poison acids of malice and jealousy and hatred that will just take the Holy Spirit right away from you. It will run him from the tabernacle here. It'll kill the Spirit of God or drive it away from here, hurt your pastor. It'll do everything. See, don't you do that." So now we want to examine this morning. How do I, if I can examine myself and find that there's a root of bitterness or something, how do I get rid of that? How do we tackle this problem? It's like a gardener, you know, figuring out there's something I need to pull up, and you go to weeding and you pull up the things that aren't supposed to be there, and you leave what's supposed to be there, and you're tending a garden. Max Lucado said, "Bitterness is like a rock thrown into a placid pond. It's like something that's small that gets started, and it starts trickling out and becomes bigger and bigger until after you were like, whoa, where did that come from? But it just starts off real small. After its initial splash, it sends out circular ripples that affect the whole pond. Charles Spurgeon said, the more bitterness you have in your heart, the less room there is for the Spirit of God. Right. Unforgiveness chokes out the life of God. And C.S. Lewis said, to be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you. So now where does that bitterness that Paul was talking about, that he was using Esau as an example of, that bitterness comes from anger and disappointment at being treated unfairly, resentment. So another, let's take it deeper. It's your expectation. You're expecting to be treated in a certain way. Let's say, for example, maybe at work you go into your boss's office and you're expecting him to agree with you, and he doesn't. And you come out of there and something begins to start festering. Well, I don't think I was treated it fairly or whatever. And that little resentment begins to grow. Maybe throughout your childhood you didn't get the love that you felt like you needed to, and it starts growing this bitterness because you expected something that you didn't get. Maybe you just feel the devil's got you thinking a place where you don't feel like you're worth nothing, and maybe you had a relationship where somebody cheated on you, in high school or where maybe I hate to say it, but maybe somebody's marital vow was broken, right. And that caused you begin to be bitter and resentful. And so these are the things that we're talking about. Maybe somebody didn't have clothes or food on the table, and they begin to look at other people and think, well, why do they have a blessing? Oh, see, that's where resentment can come to, where you look at somebody else and their life is blessed, and it seems like that all their needs are being provided for. Maybe a young person looks at somebody else and sees that looks like their life is perfect or whatever. But because you think that you're not getting what you deserve, in your mind, bitterness and resentment begins to grow. And so all these things, it's all based on unrealistic expectations. Unrealistic expectations are premeditated resentments, because you're going into the situation thinking, you got this expectation. You already got it laid out, how everything's going to pan out. Sometimes, you start coming to church and you've got an expectation of what church life is going to be, and then it won't meet your expectations. And the bitterness begins to grow and resentment, because maybe somebody is invited to sing a song and you feel like you should have been the one to sing it, or something happened where you know somebody else got treated a little bit maybe better. Somebody's name was mentioned from behind the pulpit and your name wasn't mentioned. And then something begins to grow and fester. Something begins to what Max Lucado said, that the pebble thrown into the pond that just looked bloop. And then it starts to grow and grow and grow. Now, what are we talking about? We're talking about how to deal with ourselves and with others. Because Paul said, don't do like Esau, where you have these expectations that are not met. And of course, they weren't met in Esau's case because he made a bad decision. And when his expectation for the birthright was not met, he cried bitterly. So you see where bitterness comes from. It's from your expectation. In Ephesians, well, let's go back to this quote. So we want to, Brother Ram was saying God's provided a way of healing. He would explain how a cancer or whatever starts from a bruised cell. And he explains a cell that's backslidden, that don't have a good, healthy blood supply. So what the point is, I'm not going to belabor the labor through reading all these quotes and everything, but just get to the point. If you want to be a real healthy cell that has a real healthy relationship with God, because God is where we get our supply. Maybe not so much from, if you're relying so much on other people to kind of feed you with a constant stream of adulation and pats on the backs and things, that's great and everything, but one day that might fail. And where you get your joy and your wellspring of everlasting life bubbling up within you, your joy is from God. So we want to be a real healthy cell in the body, so that when that little bitterness starts to grow out, you can stop it right in its tracks. So that's what we're talking about this morning. How do you deal with that bitterness like Paul was saying? In Ephesians 4, Paul said, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another. Now, see, there's how you deal with it. So, listen, the devil don't know how to deal with love. The devil does not know how to deal with somebody being kind to somebody that's evil. And that's, you can see how the whole, everything that Jesus preached was about reconciliation and restoration. When somebody smites you on the face, you don't smite them back. Now, that was the Old Testament way, an ear for an ear, an eye for an eye, and all those things. But when somebody does, or you can stop it right in its tracks. If you're in touch with God and have communion with God, a relationship with God, where you're not relying on external feedback for your joy and your strength, but you're trusting in your Maker, you're trusting in your Father for all your strength.
Amen.
And that will stop the devil right in his tracks when you can show love to hate.
Yep, right.
Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Now, let's look. It's, bitterness is like a little plant growing. It's like a seed. And you can, if you recognize what it is, the devil trying to plant something in you, you can say, I don't want that. And stop it right in its track. So that's the best way to stop bitterness, is stop it before it's planted.
Amen.
Right. Now, see, look what it does. And I know these are kind of small, so I'm just going to skim through some of these. It starts off with just, bitterness starts off with just a little hurt experience. And then it grows into resentment. You start dwelling on it. And then you're ruminating on it. Bitterness leads to constant rumination. Every day you wake up in the morning, you're thinking about it.
Yep.
And you go to sleep and you're thinking about it. And it just rolls around in your head. And then it turns into grudge holding.
Right. Yep.
Where grudges are prolonged feelings of bitterness. Where they might last years or months. Where you look back for years later and still remember what somebody did to you because you never released it. You never forgave that person. And you see what bitterness does. It hinders not the person that did the thing to you, but it's hindering you. That's why if you can understand yourself, if we can understand ourselves, then we can be free of these things. To think the trick of the devil, to let somebody do something maybe that hurts you and stung you, and then it just impacts you. Maybe it was a bully years ago in school that said something to you, and the bully don't even remember. But you've hung on to that and let it hinder you and mess with your mind and building all these grudges, and then look what it does. It keeps growing until it starts leading to manipulative behavior, where you're trying to control situations and people. It escalates to hurtful behavior, because that's the ripple in the pond.
Right.
Starts off with just bloop, and now you're hurting other people in your life, relationships. You're hindering things.
Right.
It escalates out to stuff, even to where people, you know, young people cutting themselves and doing all these things because they had expectations that were not met, and it rippled and grew and grew and grew to the point where it started hurting.
Yep.
And the Queen of Sheba, Brother Branham said, somebody told me not long ago, said, Brother Branham, you know what happened? This great organization is talking about that's always sponsored you. You know what they did? They ousted you. They won't have nothing to do with you no more. Said they drove down their stake and said nobody received Brother Branham anymore. Now, think about that. That would be something. That's hurtful. My goodness. I've heard people tell stories about how that they would, that one place Brother Branham was supposed to speak at, and he was supposed to be the speaker that night, and then they got up behind the platform and said, never mind, Brother Branham couldn't make it tonight. And the brother looked over on the side and saw them escorting Brother Branham out. And he was like, what? All these strange things happening in Brother Branham's life, but Brother Branham was mature enough to be able to handle it.
Right.
And look how he handled it. He said, I drove mine down too and went way out of past them and took them in. That's just all of it. That's all. I take them in because a lot of God's children in there.
Yep.
And that's right. The message is to God's children, not to any certain organization, but to God's children. They put me out. I'll take them in by spreading mine a little wider and just take it in. That's all. So we must love one another. Keep the roots of bitterness out of us.
Amen.
Then God can go to working through us. But till we get that, then we're just fighting the wind. True, we got to love one another. Jesus said, by this, all men will know you're my disciples. Right or wrong, love anyhow. So what can we do to keep bitterness from taking root? Let's go real deep, okay? Let's study this out so we can examine ourselves. First thing, don't let it take root to begin with. The bitterness is like, it's like a dam busting. The crack starts forming, and before long, the dam just... and all of a sudden you've got all this water coming through. Proverbs 17 says, the beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water. Therefore leave off contention before it be meddled with. And 2 Samuel chapter 10, I was actually, Last night I was listening to Brother Chad Lamb. He was preaching Wednesday night on this scripture, the story of David and King Hanun. And that is a really awesome story if you go to listen to that. What the story is about is David goes, King Hanun's father passed away, so David's going to go, we'll say it like in modern terms, he's going to send him some Hallmark cards and some greetings and some comfort, and he goes and sends all these men to help him out. Well, King Hanun, his men got to tell him, it's the devil, got to tell him, King David just wants to destroy you. Now, see, isn't that just like how the devil does sometimes? He got it in his head that David wanted to destroy him. But David was out. He wanted to show love. He was like, I'm trying to help you out. I'm sending you some casserole dishes. I'm sending you some broccoli surprise or whatever. You know, I'm sending you some help, all these wagon loads of help. But King Hanun got it in his head that David was out to destroy him, that he was out for his hurt. And so instead of returning the love, he said, all right, we're going to take these emissaries and we're going to cut half of their beard off. And we're going to cut half of their garment off so that their rear shows, so that when they walk home, they're walking home in shame. And when David heard that, he said, okay. And what did it do? It started a war. And see, oh, that's what the devil's tactic is. He just wants to do stuff like that. So there's step one. Don't even let it take root. If you can recognize that it's the devil putting a thought in your mind about a brother or sister or something and say, no, here's how you tackle bitterness. You begin to think about all the good things that that brother or that sister has done for you. Think about all the good things that your mother and father have done for you. Think about all the good things, and that will begin to change your perception of the situation. Now, if King Hanun had done that and began to think, well, David was always there for my daddy. He was always a comfort in time of need. That would have changed the situation, and they wouldn't have gone to war. Right. Acknowledge your feelings. Now, there's a good first step. The heart knoweth his own bitterness, and a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. Now, what that means is you know down in your heart whether you've got joy or bitterness. A stranger doesn't know you've got joy. If you got real joy, they're not really going to be able to enter into your joy like you can, because it's in your heart and you got that joy. The same way with bitterness. Nobody really knows what's in your heart but you. So if you just really meditate, y'all know how I'm a real fan of meditation and introspection. If you just sit maybe in your car in the morning praying to God and thinking about, you know, is there anything like David used to pray? Is there anything wrong in my life? Is there anything that's off kilter? You begin to think and really begin to acknowledge and think about your relationships. Is the reason why I act with this person, or reason why they treat me like this, is it because of anything that I've done? And you begin to acknowledge the things that are wrong in your life. Now, so there is the first step to acknowledge. Now, because if you don't know that there's bitterness in your life, you can't handle it. But if you recognize that there's bitterness, then you can start to take action. Seek forgiveness. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, Paul said. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Now, so there's the thing. That if somebody does you wrong, just be ready and quick to forgive them and to just release that from your life. Practice gratitude. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Oh, like we were saying, when you come to church, you come expecting to receive something, right. And when you look at things, how you look determines how you'll see it. Like that deacon that Brother Brown talked about, that little girl running around asking everybody, how can I see God? And everybody said no, until she finally got in touch with that deacon who said, everywhere I look, I see God. Amen. So if you're looking for a fault in your brother or sister, you'll find a fault. Because I tell you what, we all got plenty of faults. If you're looking for a laundry list of things that you can point out with somebody, you'll find plenty. But if you're looking for the good, if you're looking for something that you can say, well, wow, I'm glad that that person is in my life. That's what this is about. Practice gratitude. How about this? Let go and let God. In Romans chapter 12, it says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Amen. And when you examine really what forgiveness is, forgiveness is the ability to release that desire for vengeance. Because when somebody does you wrong, it's a natural human inclination to say, I'm going to restore. I'm going to repay them for what they did. I want this to be exposed. I want this to be revealed. I want everybody to know what a grievous thing this is. But it's a supernatural thing when you say, I'm just going to release it. I'm going to turn it over to God. Whatever God wants to have happen, it's up to Him. But it's not my job to seek out retribution or vengeance. Vengeance is the Lord's. And how about this? Cultivate a forgiving heart. Matthew chapter 6 said, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." So if we want to be forgiven, to forgive others. But if you forgive men, not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Let's dive a little bit further. What is forgiveness? Forgiveness is pardoning someone for a wrongdoing or offense. Pardoning is wiping it away. And choosing not to hold their actions against them. Choosing not to hold. So you're not like holding it in your heart and saying, I'm not going to hold it against them now, but give me 6 months and then I'm going to release it. Letting go of negative feelings, resentments, and the desire for revenge or retaliation towards someone who has wronged you. An intentional decision to let go of resentment and anger. Now, that's why prayer and introspection is so important. For when you get along with God and you begin to, Lord, you know, help me to help. You know, sometimes you can pray, help me to release this. It's beyond my ability. Help me to let these things go. Oh, it's something supernatural is happening in the life of a believer when you really forgive somebody. We're coming up to brotherly kindness and all those things. That's why Colossians 3:12 says, "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies." Mercy coming from within, from deep within. Kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering. Now, what's the devil going to do with something like that? The devil gets in amongst the people, but they've got something flowing from inside. That's so kind and long-suffering that you can just berate and beat conk somebody over the head over and over, but because they've got a relationship with God and there's a bubbling wellspring of life coming up within, you just can't do anything to that person. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so do also ye. Matthew chapter 5 said, "You have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth." I got this picture over here of Jesus putting that man's ear back on. But look what the lesson Jesus is trying to... Peter, he saw Jesus being wronged, and he immediately whipped his sword out, which is our reaction a lot of times. When we see something, you know, something a little bit off, here comes the sword. I love, you know, you really start studying things out and you can see these little relationships between the disciples. Why? I'm just putting a little question. Why is it that Matthew said, "I don't know who cut the ear off of the guard," and Mark said, "I don't know. We can't say." Luke said, "I don't know." But John was like, "It was Peter. Peter did it." And First Peter said, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Amen. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Now, every Christian wants to be like Jesus. And that's all of our roadmap that we're trying to get to a place where we're like Jesus. He is our example. That's what we're trying to model our life after and trying to be like, to where there's no guile in our mouth, to where when somebody reviles us, we don't revile back, that when we suffer, we don't threaten back. When anything was, he was able to deal with any situation. In Luke chapter 6, it says, "But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, Do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. That seems like a pretty big ask, doesn't it? But that's what God is asking us to do. In 1 Thessalonians 5:15, he said, "See that none render evil for evil unto any man." What's something else I can do to keep bitterness from overtaking? Is practice self-control. In James 1, it says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear." Be quick to listen. Just listen to somebody. We're so quick to just talk over one another and butt in and not listen. But listen. Oh, you find all these proverbs, all these lessons in the New Testament about close your mouth and open your ears. If we could follow those simple rules, it would take care of a lot of things. Swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God.
Amen.
And let's get rid of all the negative thoughts. That's what Paul, or in Philippians, he said, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." So when you're driving home from work and you're thinking about how your wife ain't, because she probably ain't going to have dinner ready for me, get rid of those negative thoughts. Think something positive. When you're riding around and you're thinking about that person at church that just did something wrong, get rid of that negative thought. And think about all the good things. Because I guarantee you that we've got plenty of good things to think about. We've got things to think about, the benefits of God, what God did for us, the people that, just so many things that you go on and on. And release control. Just put it in God. Cast everything over to God. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth.
Yes.
And pray. Because the Bible says he healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. And practice love. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you.
Yes.
Brother Branham said, love one another. Above everything, love one another, no matter what the devil tries to say. Now, this is supposed to be a picture of somebody in church spreading poison. It's kind of hard to make that out, maybe. But he's in a church spreading poison. He said, now, you're all one great, big, sweet group now. But remember my warning, see? Satan won't let that stay that way. Satan's going to do just like he tried to do to King Hanan. Get in there and spread, put a lie in somebody's mind. Somebody's trying to come with love, and they're out for evil. He'll shoot everything. If he has to bring somebody in to make his target, he'll bring some critic or unbeliever in and sit him down and cause him to fellowship with you under the quietness and things. And then he'll shoot that guy with some kind of a poison stuff, just like in this picture here. And he'll start through the church with it. Don't you take sides with it. Don't you have nothing to do with anything else. You stay right, loving and sweet and kind to one another. Pray for that man that he'll be saved too, or that woman, or ever who it is, just pray for them and stick one with another. Now, that's what Paul was talking about as we close and the musicians come forward. Paul was talking about don't be bitter like Esau was. And Esau was bitter because his expectation of the promise was not met. Of course, he made the bad decision. But when our expectations are not met, let's don't be bitter. God bless you.